Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our presentation of the company result as of September 30, 2015. Our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Oscar Cecchetti, and our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Raphael Perrino, will now give you an update on our operating and financial profile year to date. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. I kindly ask you to take note of our disclaimer policy. You should be now able to see on slide number one. Let me introduce Mr. Cecchetti, who will drive you through the key stream of our growth strategy: revenue, efficiency, and the leitmotif of our strategy, innovation. After Mr. Cecchetti's presentation, Mr. Raphael Perrino will comment on the year-to-date financial results. Oscar, to you, please take the lead.
Thank you, Michele. Good evening, everybody. Sorry for bothering you so late in the afternoon, and thank you for your participation to our second conference call. Last quarter, we said that we were orderly on track. An appropriate statement about this quarter could be ready to do better. As a matter of fact, we are delivering what we promised in the IPO, and in some cases, we perform even better. Having said that, let me now go into more detail about our quarter result. Let's start with revenues that all in all are in line with the expectation. As you can see in the slide number three, revenues reached €158.8 million year to date. Revenues coming from our agreement with TI account for €126.7 million and guarantee in with a buffer of stable proceeds over the next years. The remaining 20% of year-to-date total revenues comes from third parties for integrated hosting services, of which about €29 million due to previous contracts already in the portfolio before the IPO, and the remaining €3 million mainly attributable to new tenants over the period. This trend meant a 9% increase of OLOS revenues with respect to last year's historical figures and a plus 3 percentage points compared to last quarter. Let's dive into this with the following three slides. First, slide number four, where we highlight the key driver to boost revenues: new tenants. As at September 30, we can confirm that we are on track in the fulfillment of our tenancy plan. I'd just like to recap that 2,500 new tenants in the next 4 years are guaranteed by the master service agreement, and an additional growth will come from our ability to market our sites. As of today, we have reached 25% of the four-year target, that is almost the full annual target, by hosting slightly more than 600 new tenants. This year, the execution of the plan has been front-loaded. As a matter of fact, we registered 500 new tenants in the first 6 months and about 150 this last quarter. All this leads to a 1.6 times co-tenancy ratio. We do expect to increase this ratio even further within the end of the year, thanks to additional contracts coming from Telecom Italia and several new agreements with telco players that are already in the pipeline. Translated into euros, the full impact of the new tenants over a 12-month period results in approximately €4.3 million revenue increase, which represent an average of €7,000 per tenant per year. Moving to slide number five, I can update you on another source of revenue growth: the rolling out of new sites. INWIT intends to increase its coverage by developing the new macro cells network upon customers' request. In order to complete the 4G coverage, telco operators are actively searching for several new sites, Inuit can seize such opportunity also by virtue of its role as privileged supplier to Telecom Italia. As at October 2015, we agreed to roll out 64 new sites, which will be on air partly by the end of this year and partly beginning of next. It's important to remark that this rollout plan has been commissioned by Telecom Italia, and many sites already have a backlog of orders for a second tenant, whereby their tenancy ratio is already in line with the overall portfolio. The full year economic impact will be around 1.4 million, meaning approximately 20 euro per site. Let's move to slide number six, new business. While ensuring a stable pace of revenue growth by focusing on co-tenancy increase and by developing new build-to-suit sites, we also look at the medium term and develop new services. This is in line with our strategy to become a next-generation wireless infrastructure provider. Here, the most relevant opportunity is given by small cells. In the near future, small cell will play a central role in the 5G mobile networks and will be extensively shared among different operators. For this reason, here we see a relevant growth opportunity in the medium term we want to be prepared to catch. Let's come to the actions we have already undertaken. Just to keep you updated with the Bologna project, we kicked off last quarter, and the distributed antenna system network will be on air within the end of this year. Agreements with MNOs are already in the pipeline, and we expect a high tenancy ratio, which of course should translate into high margins. Moreover, a new agreement has just been signed and refers to the deployment of 18 new micro sites in Cava dei Tirreni, a town not far from Naples. We have already received some declaration of interest from the main mobile operators, and here we reported some key figures of this new opportunity. First, we expect a marginality in line with the current one and the CapEx per unit lower than that of macro cells. We will keep working on this with great focus to fully integrate the new services into INWIT's offer and, of course, to pave the way for future growth. Let's move to slide number seven. To drive our EBITDA and keep it under control, we also worked on cost containment as another driver of the company value. Operating expenses amount to 87.7 million euro as at September 30, 2023. OpEx are mainly related to ground lease costs, where we registered a 5.2% reduction versus last year's historical figures. The remaining cost streams are still in line with our historical values. In particular, regarding maintenance cost, we can rely on a flat amount under a fixed-term contract. Our cost containment effort is also reflected into other operating costs and into personnel costs, and is a clear consequence of our lean organization and right sourcing philosophy. Suffices to look at our two main efficiency programs: site decommissioning and ground lease renegotiation. Slide eight, please. Some insight on the site decommissioning program, which is a key factor for cost reduction while keeping revenues unchanged, because the rental amount provided in the agreement with Telecom Italia is not sensitive to the decommissioning plan. As at September 30, 2023, about 53 sites are on the way of being dismantled, while 10 have already been dismantled. Another 269 sites have been identified as eligible for decommissioning, and in particular, 45% of those to be effective within 2015, and the remaining part after year-end within the first quarter of 2016. Under 30 sites, part of the decommissioning plan, by virtue of the strategic position of the towers, have been considered as marketable and will be offered to new tenants. Progress in site decommissioning, with reference to the 63 sites either being dismantled or already dismantled, means a reduction in costs of about 0.6 million on an annual basis. Let's move on slide number five. The second part of our efficiency program deals with ground lease renegotiation. During this last quarter, we obtained a sound 19% discount level, which is slightly lower than that of the previous periods, with a satisfactory 60% rate of successful renegotiations. Our 2015 renegotiation effort will generate, once fully operational, savings for 6.4 million euro on an annual basis. Those results, as you can see in the slide, have been obtained by a continuous reshaping of our relations with the landlords. In addition to the pure rent renegotiation for awarding the same contractual terms that is losing momentum, we are accelerating on, first, advance payments against major ground lease reductions and a new way to capitalize on our assets with contracts for long-term right of usage, as well as, after an accurate assessment, for land acquisition. There are currently about 50 preliminary contracts for land acquisition ready to be signed and another few hundreds under negotiation. In the future, we intend to use this lever even more, as we are fully confident, certain that it can create value for the company. Those contracts usually become effective at later stage, and that translates into a delayed economic impact. Yet, as you can see, it yielded clear results in terms of cost saving. Now, I leave the floor to Rafael Perrino, who will comment the economics and financial of our quarterly performance. Rafael?
Thank you, Oscar, and good evening to you all. Let me go through our key economic and financial results for this quarter. Before I begin, I would like to remind you that since INWIT started its operations last April, financial data at September 30 only represents the results of a six-month period. To provide you with a frame of reference, in this chart, we are comparing year-to-date results with the annual 2014 pro forma data divided by two. Let me now walk you through our key economic and financial figures year-to-date. Revenues stand at €158.8 million, with a 1.1% increase versus pro forma data, driven by the increase in co-tenancy, as already highlighted by Oscar. OPEX amount to €87.7 million, with a minus 2.2% versus pro forma data, mainly due to our twofold efficiency program, with which we are targeting the reduction of ground lease costs. Therefore, EBITDA totals €71.1 million with a 5.6% increase versus pro forma data, and net income comes to €42.96 million plus 4.6% versus pro forma data. Now, looking at CAPEX, they amount to €1.9 million. This level of CAPEX lead to a cash conversion indicator, EBITDA minus CAPEX divided by EBITDA, of 97.3%. Maintenance CAPEX will be incurred in the last quarter of the year, confirming our forecast. Moreover, net debt at €60.1 million, highlights INWIT financial flexibility. Despite our short history, if we compare the first and the second quarter of our activity, the positive trend is clear, as shown by the 3.5% quarter-on-quarter EBITDA increase. We are now beginning to reap the benefits of our initial operating effort. Let's go to slide 12. Here, I would like to provide you with an overview of our P&L. As a result of strategies implemented during the last 6 months, EBITDA margin now stands at 44.8%, exceeding both 2014 pro forma and 2015 forecast figures. EBIT amounts to 65.5 million euro, securing a 41.5% EBIT margin. Financial charges are mainly related to interest on the 120 million euro term loan at an all-in cost rate of 1.33%. Considering 20.8 million euro of taxes accrued over the period and 1.1 million euro of non-cash items, our net income comes to 42.96 million euro, showing a 27.5% net income on sales. We can now move to slide 13. In this slide, we analyze INWIT's cash flow. At September 30, the net financial position amounted to 60.1 million euro, thanks to a net cash flow generation of 59.8 million euro, due to EBITDA minus CapEx being equal to 69 million euro, a net working capital change of 8.7 million euro, reflecting a 6.7 million euro improvement quarter-on-quarter. As OLOs delays in updating their administrative and accounting systems experienced during the first quarter was promptly tackled and almost totally recovered, and the payment of 0.7 million euro in financial charges. Please note that the 20.8 million euro in taxes has no financial impact on this quarter. All this leads to a net cash flow on EBITDA ratio of 84%. For a balance sheet overview, please turn to slide 14. Total net assets stand at around 1.5 billion euro, mainly due to goodwill of 1.4 billion euro, tangible net assets of 180 million euro, the related asset retirement obligation fund for 95 million euro, other funds for 23 million euro, mainly related to tax liability, and a net working capital of 17 million euro. The net financial position of 60.1 million euro is the result of 120 million euro of financial debt minus 59.8 million euro of cash generated over the six-month period. The financial debt related to the senior term loan of 120 million euro with no financial covenants. The term loan has a five-year amortization with a two-year grace period. The first of the six semi-annual installment will be in November 2017, resulting in an average duration of 3.7 years. The interest rate is fixed at 1.24%, and the all-in cost is around 1.33%. The 60.1 million euro net debt represents a conservative level of our capital structure, giving us the financial flexibility to seize whatever opportunity worth undertaking from now on. Total equity amounts to 1.4 billion euro, of which 660 million euro as distributable reserves, equal to 1.1 euro per share.
Okay, we ended our session. We are ready for the Q&A session.
Anybody online? We are ready for the Q&A session. Thank you, Rafael.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Fabio Pavan from Mediobanca. Mr. Pavan, your question, please.
Yes, good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. I would like to start with the update you gave on the acquisition of land. I think this is important part of the equity story. So could you provide us some little bit color on what we could expect in terms of number for the coming years, more both in terms of savings, but also in terms of investment needed? And this is my first question. And the second one, if I may, would like to have just a full recap on what we had in terms of impact for the next year, as for each item you are commenting about savings and revenue contribution. So all in all, to me, it looks that 2016 number could have such an important upside already, when just taking into consideration the updates you gave us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fabio. Let's start from your first question, acquisition of land. I consider that this is a very, very powerful strategic lever that we have in order to create value. We launched our plan of acquisition of lands and long-term right of usage in August. We started with some hundreds of negotiations. We have already about 50 preliminary agreement already signed. We feel comfortable, we feel confident to conclude in the next months. That includes the end of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016, some hundreds of acquisition. The policy we adopted in doing that is to offer a sort maximum seven times the annual fee. This means for us potential, let's say, value creation, but it's also, let's say, a break-even point that could be of interest of the landlords because of the tax benefits they could enjoy. The second question is about the perspective of what we showed in savings and revenue increase. I think that here we have the, let's say, a structural delay, because of course, when we sign a contract for a new tenant, the monthly fee impact will be after the mobile operator get the permission to install the active equipment. And the savings, usually there is in the saving, in a new contract, there is usually as a delayed effect, because when we sign a contract, we say that this contract will start, let's say, in with a specific date in some months. But all in all, this is the reason why I show you the numbers of full year economic impact. Because when they become completely operative, completely operational, the numbers that you have seen are the expected economic impact.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Mr. Ghilotti, your question, please.
Good afternoon. The first question is on your updated revised guidance, in the sense that I haven't seen any revision, but clearly you are running ahead of the target was given during the IPO. Can I assume that that Q4 is at least as strong as Q4, or are you seeing any reason for a weaker contribution from Q4? Second question is related to cash taxes. Should I assume that you will pay taxes during Q4, so at the end cash taxes equal to reported taxes for the full year? And the last question is related to the marketable towers that are included in commented in your slide about the commissioning. I would like to understand how long will you wait for securing effectively a contract with new tenants before, say, deciding if the tower considered marketable is actually marketable and or not. I don't know if I was clear in the last question, but I'm trying to understand the process behind these marketable towers.
Thank you. I will answer the first and the third, and I will leave the second to Rafael. What we can say is that we are performing as we expect. You notice that we put a disclaimer. We put, let's say, the highlight of our presentation, ready to do better. So we believe that we are delivering a performance that will allow us in the future to improve. But as a matter of fact, we can just confirm what we said in terms of undertakings in the IPO. Very interesting, the third question about the marketable side. So we adopted different criteria in order to establish that the site could be marketable or not. The first clear criterion was if in that site we have or not already a tenant other than Telecom Italia. Second, we consider the position, the location, and let's say taking advantage of our experience, our feeling about the possibility to market these sites. And the third relevant revenues, it's also an agreement with the landlord that could translate into a temporary reduction of annual fee waiting for potential usage of the sites. All in all, let's say that we decided, first of all, to carefully monitor the difference between the active fees that we have on those under 30 sites and the cost, the leasing cost. I want to remind you that the process, if we decided that a specific site is not eligible to be marketed, at this point, the process starts from the beginning. We send a notice to the landlord, and in 6 months, we can stop paying the lease. So those criteria are telling us that for the time being, we consider that those under 30 sites could be a revenue opportunity. I don't know if I've been clear or not on that.
Sorry, I was mute. Yes, it was perfectly clear.
Okay, Rafael, about taxes.
Yeah. Okay, being a new incorporated company, we are going to pay taxes next June. So we are not paying taxes in the next month, but we are going to pay taxes next June. So the 20.8 million taxes for this reason didn't create any financial impact in this quarter.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks to you.
Next question comes from Mr. Jonathan Dunn from Royal Bank of Canada. Mr. Dunn, your question, please.
Hi there. Two questions. One, could you share some of the economics of small cells? For example, the rents per site. My understanding is some of the small site operators in the US get relatively high rents per site. And then secondly, on slide 8, you walk through the target of 462 sites decommissioned. Can you just sort of explain how that ties to the 60 sites at the bottom of that slide? And then I have a third question, which I'll ask as a follow-up.
Okay, let me start from the second because it's quite easy. So the 60, slide number 8, please. The 60 sites that have been either decommissioned either or dismantled are a portion of the 46.2. So those the overall the number that we put in the slides, the sum of those numbers gives you 462. The first question about the small cell economics is quite interesting. So here I want to highlight some key elements. First, we have to start from, let's say, considering that the cost of distributed antenna system is quite high. So, I think that is related with the small deployment of this technology, but as a matter of fact, the cost of distributed antenna system is quite high. On the other hand, if we consider that first, typical the small cell plants are multi-carrier, multi-operator. Second, they include the active technology, DAS. They include backhauling and the traditional infrastructure features. So all in all, the EBITDA encapsulated in all those elements results at the end of the day in line with the typical EBITDA of the tower business. In terms of market price, of course, it's completely related to the relevance of the locations. So in some locations, operators are willing to pay a lot. In some locations, they are not. All in all, we consider that for an operator, a single small cell should have an overall cost that is, let's say, 25-30% of the cost of a macro cell. Take also into account that in case of for the small cell, the fee usually is not related to the single small cell, but to the location. So if we install small cell in an airport, the fee for the operator is related to the airport, not to how many small cell we have in the airport. But all in all, I can confirm that the EBITDA expected from those services is in line and sometimes higher than the traditional business.
And then can I ask a follow-up? On one of the backup slides, you mentioned that there'll be relatively few B sites decommissioned. Is that Is that due to the power density rules, or is that more related to Telecom Italia reserving most of those sites?
The second, because the commissioning plan is related to the transfer of obligation and rights that Telecom Italia used to have with other operators. And this agreement to the commission an amount, a specific amount of sites, is related to an agreement between Telecom Italia and another operator, and is completely focused on the sites A. In the slide, in the backup, in slide number 20, we simply reported a sort of in principle formulas to deal with the potential decommissioning, because many times we are dealing with questions, doubt about those processes. So the only purpose of this slide is to give some colors on difficulties and opportunities in dealing with the potential decommissioning.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mrs. Carola Bardelli from Deutsche Bank. Mrs. Bardelli, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of follow-ups. So following up from Fabio's question on the reduction in ground lease costs, considering the phasing during the year, I was wondering if it still makes sense to consider an approximate 6 million reduction in 2016. And then other question is instead on the electromagnetic emission rules easing. If you see maybe the possibility that the headline threshold is not changed, but maybe the measurement time changed so that consolidation could become easier. And in terms of timing, when should we expect news on that front? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carola. So now the 6 million is let's say the evaluation of saving on an annual basis. The timing of this saving to have effect is related to the single renegotiation contract. Many of them will start from the beginning of 2016. Some could be delayed at the first months of 2016. So all in all, a relevant portion of those savings will have effect starting from the first months of 2016. No news about the electromagnetic emission. The change, the procedure change you are referring to is something that was already well known when we started. And all our evaluation about the potential decommissioning, about the potential synergies that we have been discussing are based on those rules. So as you perfectly know, the statement has been done by the Renzi government in the strategic project, the strategic plan for ultra broadband. They explicitly say that they want to change those limits and realign them to the European standard. The only news is that our association, ASTEL, reached a sort of agreement with the government to develop some additional analysis on the European regulations and on the impact of radiation on the wealthy of the people. So nothing more than that. As I told you, let's say that the problem is that the ultra broadband strategic plan is mainly focused on fiber. It's focused on fiber to the home architectures, in allowing Italy to reach the European digital agenda targets, the possibility to use European funds in order to finance the development of networks. So The problem is that, let's say that the change in the electromagnetic rule is a small component, a small part of this plot. Anyway, we are waiting and we are actively working in order to get the change.
When is this additional analysis by Astral due to be completed, please?
The additional analysis will not be done by Astral, but by two universities that will be, let's say, selected by the government.
Mm-hmm. It could take quite long. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Carola.
Next question comes from Mr. Eric Herbst from Credit Suisse. Mr. Herbst, your question, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. I had two questions, actually. Firstly, on small cells, I just wanted to clarify, when you talk about 12 small cells based on DAS technology, is that actually 12 DAS nodes, or is it 12 DAS systems, so basically 12 different locations? And then I also wonder, in terms of the economics of small cells, is there any difference in terms of the margin expansion when you add more customers? I know they, I think you got a bit of a discount for a second tenant on macro sites. Is it kind of the same dynamics on small cell networks, or is it more everyone pays the same? And then the second question was on the network sharing agreement that TI's got and the benefits for you being able to decommission sites and keep the revenues quite obvious. Is that up to you, or is it up to TI essentially to expand that agreement and maybe find new agreements with other operators? Maybe you could go into network sharing in more urban areas. That was that. Thank you.
Thank you. yes, when we talk about the number of DAS, we refer to equipments. So no system, but single equipments. The second question was about co-tenancy. Typically, small cell is multi-operator. So our standard is that the two projects that we decided to develop, have a target to get at least three operators as customers. Usually, the small cell makes sense when you have more than one customers and possibly all the operators as customers. There is also, in principle, the possibility to develop small cell for a single operator. But this is something that should have completely different economics. So our plan, our approach is to figure out locations where operators could be interested in extending coverage and capacity, to propose to reach agreement with the location owner, and to propose a small cell as a service to all the operators. Yes, in principle, the second question, in principle, the sharing agreement about network sharing could be expanded, but we do not have, neither us nor, to the best of my knowledge, Telecom Italia, have specific projects on that. On the other hand, taking into account the overlap that we can observe in the coverage, we are absolutely interested in proposing the mobile operator single and selective decommissioning. Let's say, if we realize that we have in a specific areas a location that could serve an additional operator, we deal with this operator in order to have it as an additional tenant on our sites and to manage the decommissioning. But in principle, the network sharing agreement could be expanded In reality, we do not have any project to do that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much.
Last question comes from Mrs. Antonella Frongillo from Banca IMI. Mrs. Frongillo, your question, please.
Good evening. I have three questions, please. The first one is on the co-tenancy plan. You mentioned that you have almost achieved the full year target of more than 600 new contracts by year end. Should we expect in the fourth quarter the same number of new contracts as in the second quarter, 150, less than that, more than that, just a rough indication in order to understand the trend of this plan? The second question is on CAPEX. In view of the ground lease renegotiation, can you recap in terms of expectations for the full year and for 2016? I guess that you could spend less than expected this year and more next year, but I wanted just to double check with you. And my last question is on the slide 20. Can you add some financials to this slide? I mean, some estimates in terms of dismantling costs or costs for moving antennas from one site to another. Thanks.
Yes, we thank you for your question. No, we do not have any guidance for the fourth quarter. We expect that the plan for what we call contracted co-tenancy increase is an annual plan. So as soon as we reach the target, we could stop the acquisition. On the other hand, as I told you in my presentation, we have several new negotiations with tenants other than the contracted ones that could translate into interesting developments, but no guidance about the number. So CAPEX for lands, as I told you, the CAPEX that we will incur for the acquisition of lands is the average is 7 times the annual fee. If you consider that the average of our fees for lands is just a bit higher than 10,000 euro, you can expect that the average CAPEX for each acquisition is in the range of 70,000 euro. We believe that in principle we would like to do as many acquisition as we can. The problem is that it need to be two to tango. So at this point it depends on the willingness of the landlord to sell their rents. As I told you, we expect some hundreds of acquisition in the coming 4 or 5 months. Taking also into account that the process of acquisition is not, let's say, quite simple, because you have to do a lot of, let's say, procedure to check the correct ownership of the landlord, to sign contracts. And so taking all these into account, I can only confirm that we will... that our forecast, just a forecast, is to be able to get some hundreds of those contracts within the coming months. The third question was about the slide that we put in the... So no, it's absolutely difficult, let's say, this slide is in principle, because as you have already read, all the process could be different if we change the nature of the counterparts. So if we change the operator, the agreement with the operators, and so on. But I don't want to, I want to answer your question. First, dismantling. Dismantling, for dismantling sites, we estimate an average capex of 20,000 euro. First. Second, moving antenna cost usually is something close to 15,000 euro. In this scheme, we reported that we have first to neutralize the moving cost that the operators could incur in. Second, this is not enough because the operator should be incentivized to move. So perhaps you have to recognize a discount in the lease cost, or let's say a one-shot premium. And on the other hand, we have some hidden cost in the decommissioning that are related to the agreement with landlords. Sometimes we have to recognize an increase in the lease fee in order to get permission to have a second tenant. And there is also an additional element that is, in general, when an operator takes the decision to move, has to give a 6 months notice to its landlord. So, all in all, the decommissioning process is not a simple one, is not simple, but can generate a lot of benefits, because as we reported in the box, the final outcome of a decommissioning is no more lease cost with landowner 2 and no more maintenance cost on site 2. If you consider that the lease cost is an average of 13,000-14,000 and the maintenance cost is something in the region of 1,000 per year, so you can understand the advantage of dealing with the decommissioning plans.
Very clear. Thank you.
Now, a very last question from James Ratzer from New Street Research. Mr. Ratzer, your question, please.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. I'd have two questions, please. The first one was just going back to slide number 8 with regard to site decommissioning. You seem to be showing that there's around kind of 63 sites that will, you'll see the economic benefit of the dismantling this year. Does that mean that the other 269 on which says you say a 6 month notice to the landlord, we will see the economic benefit of that decommissioning coming through into 2016 EBITDA? So I suppose that's kind of incremental upside that hasn't come through in 2015 that will be there next year. And the second question I had was just regarding slide 17, your world tower market overview. I'm kind of intrigued in terms of your thinking why this is the first slide in your appendix. Is this meant to kind of indicate M&A thoughts from your management team? Would just be kind of interested to understand what your current M&A initiatives are, either within Italy or potentially outside Italy. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. As far as the decommissioning is concerned, you got the point, because the 63, the saving related to the 63 contracts, to the 63 sites that have been already decommissioned, either if they have already been dismantled or not, generate, let's say, the stop to the lease pay in this quarter. The remaining 269 will take effect either at the end, either in December or in January. But in principle, if we take into account the time frame of the 6 months notice, we send the letters in either in June or in July. So we expect all those 269 to be without fees, without lease fee, maximum in January 2016. The second question is, the reason why we put this slide was because we consider it interesting, because it confirms, let's say, a trend that says that the capital reallocation opportunity that operators have in outsourcing towers, in doing something with their towers, continue to be really appreciated. So to that extent, I think that this means simply we are in the right business. On the other hand, I want to deal with the question about international. We are completely focused on Italy. This is something that we continue to say. We believe that doing something in Italy, being organic or inorganic, it's more valuable than engaging ourselves in offshore operations. But in principle, never say never. So we believe that the possibility to create value, even in market other than Italy, could be present. Nothing that is under our attention, but in principle, we do not exclude anything.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
So, thank you, James. Thank you, everybody. Conference call is over.
Thank you, everybody.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.